Amen. Amen. Good morning. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to speak about rejoicing in the Lord. Those lines, leave that, those lines, well, it's not on that, it's on that line, on that TV, but such an awesome God. That was an amazing time. And I, you know, when we talk about rejoicing, we talk about joy, we talk about refreshing. Sometimes you got to sing for it. Sometimes you got to dig those wells deep and go and dig it up. But when the Spirit of God comes and encourages and someone lays hands on you and strengthens you and encourages you, you go away refreshed. And so we do that for one another. And it's nice to see Linda Beth and Phil, yes, welcome. What are you doing in Alberta? Anyhow, welcome this morning. It's great to have you. And if you're visiting, as you said, feel at home. We pray that God would just encourage you today as you celebrate Him. We started this series a while ago, and last week I was talking about enjoying life. And one line I wanted to use and didn't, so I get to sneak it in here, but get busy living or get busy dying. It's a choice. And we may as well get busy living and serving God. And this morning, where I'm going to go with the scripture, it's a choice that we're challenged to make. We're commanded to rejoice. We are told to rejoice. And as I said, sometimes you gotta dig a little bit. You gotta dig down to your soul to find those places. But what I've learned in my sad little life is that God is such a good God. He is an awesome God, such an awesome God, that we can't ever mine the depths and the ends and the fullness of His amazing goodness to us. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, even when it's like, anyhow, let me preach my message. And I hope I can get to a couple of conclusions that are encouraging this morning. Please turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. We're going to start there. And then I want to just read one verse in Thessalonians. It's kind of Paul just repeating himself. But in Philippians chapter 4, if you know anything about the book of Philippians, it's called the Epistle of Joy, all those things. I think it's over 20 times in Philippians he tells us to rejoice or be joyful or celebrate. 430 sometimes in the Bible we hear the word joy. You've heard these things before, and sometimes it's good to encourage ourselves. But what hit me again in this book is Paul's in prison writing to his brothers and sisters and encouraging them while he's in prison and telling them to rejoice. Let's read chapter 4. I'll just start at verse 2. I was thinking, what names could I put in here? But I was afraid to use names of people in the church. Like he says, I entreat Ingrid. Sorry, she's strong, so I can. She was smiling at me over there. And Maya, because they're sitting together, to get along. That's what he's saying. Smarten up. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So he's encouraging the sisters to get along, to work together, to encourage each other. I love it. It's like, I don't know if I was in prison if I'd be mentioning Ingrid and Maya. But he cared for that church and he cared for the people, and he's telling them to work out their stuff. And he says, verse 4, here's my text. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, because he has to, he says, I say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, Whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen? You know, like, when I read that, that whole paragraph, I get the feeling like he's digging deep in prison, and he's talking to a couple of folks to encourage them, and then he says, okay, I know there's a lot of nonsense going on out there. I know the world has gone to hell in a basket, whatever term you want to use. But he says, now, whatever is pure and lovely and good and righteous and wonderful, think on these things. Go after those things. Lift those things up. And there's enough problems around we could spend our whole morning on. But Paul's saying, rejoice. And I tell you, rejoice. And again, in Thessalonians, you don't need to turn to it, but he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, and he includes these words again, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, it's a command. We're going to start there. It's something that we're going to have to dig deep for in our lives. And there's times, you know, as we are singing, I may get to it, I may not get to it at the end of my sermon, but the picture I had was of Miriam after they crossed the Red Sea, and she comes out with this song, you know, the Lord has cast them into the, drowned them in the sea, and she's singing and praising God with the nation of Israel. But just a little while before that, on the other side of the split waters, before the sea parted, it didn't look so good. And they had to trust God. And what you're going to see, if I ever get to it, is the rejoicing and the praying without ceasing and the thankfulness, they got to go together. And I'll tell you why in a second. So why rejoice? I got 3 points and then 17 examples and a couple of poems and we'll be done. Why rejoice? Well, as I already said, there's enough problems out there. But the reason we rejoice is God's with us. You know, Joshua and chapter 1 and other places, Hebrews 13, you know, it says, the Bible never shies away from the fact that there's a lot of problems, that there's a lot of issues and challenges. Doesn't try to smoke screen us, give us a snow job. And I'm not here to do that either. There's enough challenges. But what the Bible tells us is that God's with us in Him. He will go through them with us. That's our comfort. That's our encouragement. We can delight in the peace that He protects us and that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's also why we rejoice, and this one's a little harder, but hopefully you'll get it with me, is that suffering produces fruit. And suffering and going through hardship, he finds a way to bring everything together for his glory, that all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but our suffering is always temporary. Our suffering comes to an end, even if it's only in heaven. So we rejoice because God challenges, he commands us to, but he's with us in it. And sometimes, and I don't want to make this my whole sermon, but sometimes the hardest times that I've gone through in my life, whether it was personal or relational with ministry things or just life, is the times that I've felt the closest to God. And I've heard his voice clear, and he's spoken through those storms. And when he does, it's just like, I don't know, when life is going well, I don't know, I don't seem to hear him as well. But then when you're like, and it's God comes and he speaks through that still small voice or whatever way he chooses. And it's like God hits you. And Linda Beth, I just believe God's got you here for a reason this morning. Because, you know, one of the hardest times back in the day, God used you, Linda Beth. I always smiled at God in just a sense of humor that a daughter of a German branch missionary would speak to me at pastor's camp and say words. I want to just see your face. And just say words that touch the deepest part of my heart in that season. And without going into lots of details and everything, but just God used you, Linda Beth, to heal something in me. And someday I'll share more. But I have shared parts of it. But just when you go through hard seasons, and then God speaks, and it can be through a missionary child, a missionary daughter, and can be someone in the church, and can be someone who just comes and lays a hand on you, and someone just encourages you, and someone just ministers life. Amen? Yeah. And then you see the purpose of it. And there's, you know, that hard season back in whatever years those were, I thank God for, not then, but looking back, what God produced in our life and where he took us and what doors changed and opened and what happened in our life because of those hard seasons. And so if you're in a season when you're wrestling with God, I pray that you'll hear his voice, and I pray that you'll be patient to realize it comes to an end. It doesn't last forever. And we are told to rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice, to bring joy, to choose joy, no matter what's going on. Amen? Amen. Thanks for that amen, my sweet wife. Romans says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Like, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, we don't just make this stuff up. Yeah, sometimes we got to crank the crank a bit, and we got to sing, and we got to make some steps of faith, and we got to believe what God is saying and make some choices, and that's what I'm going to get to. But it's like God comes and fills us with hope. There's no reason for it, but he fills us with a hope. Then we can rejoice. We can, and I'll get to it. Rejoicing isn't jumping up and down and singing. So that's where I'm going to end up with. But so how do we rejoice? Number two. First of all, I had said number one, just so you know, why rejoice? I completely exhausted that point, and everybody completely is ready to know that they must rejoice. Come on, smile or do something out there. It's like, you think this stuff is easy up here? I got 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't be rejoicing this morning. How do we rejoice? Well, there's plenty of reasons, and I've already said it, but how specifically do we rejoice? What does Paul mean? Well, the term rejoice was commonly used by early Christians. I got a great paragraph here. It was a call to joy, often used as a salutation. Rejoice in the Lord. Instead of saying hi, Jesus would come into a house and say, rejoice. Rejoice. Amen? Shalom, peace. It's a greeting. It's something we speak to one another. It was used. Joy is more than just happiness. And Jesus wasn't calling people to dance and laugh and to have fun. He was asking them to choose joy instead of hopelessness. Jesus encouraged his disciples to take heart and have peace because he had already overcome the world. That's what we're saying when we say rejoice. Choose to not be negative. Don't be negative today. Choose to believe what God's saying. Choose to realize that we're here for a season. What you're in is for a season. Heaven is coming. God's with us. Amen? We choose that. And if Jesus would hear and he would speak peace, oh, I just pray that by the Spirit of God, he would just speak peace into your life. Whatever the situation, health, finance, life, relationship, Brad said it this morning, just a refreshing that comes when the hope comes, when life comes, when God speaks to us. It doesn't always look like happiness, but you can be hurting and still choose to delight in the Lord. You can choose to see the bigger picture and be grateful for what God has done. Put it simply, it's a choice, okay? As a Christian, you're called to joy, not to happiness and negativity. We should focus on what God has done instead of dwelling on our current and suffering and pain. I need to get that out there. And the third thing, what happens when we rejoice? Basically, I won't even look at this. When we rejoice and we obey that command, we bring God into our circumstance. And he changes it. And it, by rejoicing, by choosing that, we obey God. And when we obey his commands, there's all kinds of benefits that come. Choosing to obey God brings you closer to his heart and to his peace. And obedience is a true gift. But choosing to rejoice in particular comes with special benefits. When you get bad news, it's very easy to go negative, as I said. For example, you lose your job. You decide how you want to react to it. You have to choose. And I've shared that example of my son Kyle some years ago when they were, I think they were just expecting their first baby, and he was, you know, living big in Australia and Sydney. And if you know anything about Sydney or Melbourne, where they are now, it's like Vancouver or Toronto. And, you know, what's going to happen with their life? And as they get the news that she's expecting, he loses his job, a good job, finally a kind of a career direction job. And you lose it. And so we're talking on the phone and we're praying with them. But to make the long story short, and I've shared it before, is because he lost that job, the job that he's had now for these last 10 years opened up, which wouldn't have if he was still in that other job. You know what I mean? And so the position that he's in now, how the circumstances worked out, wasn't like, woo-hoo, celebration. But when you choose to trust God and you choose to bring him into it, and that's where Paul is saying, pray continually with thanksgiving, with gratitude. What are you doing? You are obeying God, and when you obey God, he acts, and he gets involved, and he speaks, and he changes circumstance. He says this in Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. We need a better perspective. Paul doesn't just say to rejoice always, but he also says to pray continually and to give thanks in all circumstance. Just being in a conversation with God delivers so much peace and joy. Just by being able to talk to God in it changes us. May not change the circumstance, but it changes us. Changes our attitude, changes our view of the world, changes our situation with God. And it actually brings him into our circumstance more. And then he can act and he can work on our behalf. If rejoicing is not jumping up and down, now here's where I wanted to get to. Because let me take a drink here. You ready? Because to be honest, I had a hard time with this one. But I love that comment that I just made, that it's not jumping up and down. Woohoo, happy. It's a choice that we make to trust God, to celebrate him, and to invite him into our circumstance. And here's where it became, you know, you're going to think my examples are only about money. But as I was laying there in the presence of the Lord, listening to the Holy Spirit, seriously, I felt it's okay if I talk around money, because money represents our life. Money represents what we give. You know, you work this many hours, you get this much, whatever. It's us. It's our effort. It's who we are. And then we give that to God, and we serve God with that. So it's part of that obedience. I think you'll understand what I mean in a sec. Trust me, we're not taking an offering. This is not a sermon about finance. But my examples connect around that. And what I realized as I'm laying there before the Lord thinking about it is it's okay, because that is the way I put my trust in him. That's the way I invited him into my circumstance. And, you know, I got 1,000 examples of that. If rejoicing is a choice, if rejoicing is thanksgiving, if rejoicing is generosity, if rejoicing is a choice, you know, count it all joy when you go through trials. Like, if that's what it is, if it's counting something, if it's deciding to make something what it doesn't seem, but to say, no, I'm counting this as joy. I'm rejoicing through this. I'm bringing God into this. Then it's okay if I talk around some of the examples of finance, because I've got many that have nothing to do with finance. It has to do with relationship with people. It has to do with making a decision about my own heart and so on. But that's between me and God. So sorry, you figure out your own. But I see that going on in this church all the time. And it's easier for me to use examples of you guys. I see people leading worship here. And Nicole spoke to the band last week, to all the people, like everyone, carrying challenges, but carrying it with a lightness, carrying it with a sweetness. I can look at this audience and I can see people who are dealing with illness and pain and cancer and loss, and yet there's a quality of their life that's trusting God, that believes God is in control of this stuff, and we are going to make it. We're going to be more than just survivors. Amen? We're going to serve God, and we're going to worship God. And yeah, these bodies fail, and they're weak, and stuff goes on, but we trust in the Lord. And I feel like Miriam when she crossed the Red Sea, you know, and it's like the horse and rider cast into, it's like, Jesus, you are good. You're going to make a way where there's no way. And maybe you're on the other side of the Red Sea this morning, and I'm saying to you, trust God. He's going to part that thing. He's going to open a door. He's going to make a way for your life. So my examples, stay with me for a minute, are real in my life. And I'm not going to talk about personal people. I've already mentioned Linda Beth back there. Just how God uses circumstance. So, number one, I'm just going to mention them because I've preached them too many times in my life. But one example for me was when we were in Mwanza. That's 100 years ago. Don't worry if you don't understand Mwanza and where that is. But we had to make a decision around buying some equipment to travel with the Good News Band. And so I had to trust God for some funds, and we sent away to Dubai, and we brought all this equipment, and I could tell you a whole long story how that turned out to be an amazing season of our life. But it came out of pain. It came out of problems. It came out of getting angry at the devil. And that's what I kind of see is a theme that goes through my examples. Another one, because I don't want to talk about them, but a trip to Canada with the Good News Band way back in the day, and I've shared that, and we needed 9 airplane tickets and all this stuff, and it was like, I'm laying on the floor, and God says, go to Canada, take the band, you know, and I've shared that testimony with nothing, and God provided. The other time when we came to Canada for 6 months as a family, and that whole story, how God gave us that apartment downtown on Jasper Avenue for free from the MLA of Drayton Valley, who we met in Drayton Valley when I preached, and he said, you need a place, and we said, yes, and I was thinking, not in Drayton Valley, and he said, no, I have a place in Edmonton, and while I'm traveling during the election year, you can stay there, and we stayed for free, and I shared that testimony. Because of that, we saved money, we put a down payment on a townhouse over there in the south of Edmonton, and that's the money that then, when we came back, we were able to buy the house we're in now, and you know what I mean? It's like, but it all started from a place of, I haven't got a clue. And God says, Jehoshaphat, the battle's not yours. Go, trust me, stand before the Lord, take your children. Go read the story of Jehoshaphat, stand before the enemy. And all they sing is, forever God is great. Amen. And they sing before the enemy and God opens the door. So that's what we did. And I could talk all morning about that. But it's like God, I got a point in what I'm getting to. The other time was with Reality Outreach and coming back to Canada and the prophetic word that came and spoke, and we're in July at the same pastor's thing that I was talking about, and a crazy, crazy prophetic guy, really crazy, but he's like, hey, Len, December, your finances are going to turn around. You won't have to worry again. This is in July, and I'm like, okay, just as we're leaving, whatever. And I could tell you a long story how God did that. And then there's one more, and this is this month. And this is personal. I'm not telling you anything. But Lori and I, we had to make decisions, a decision, and what we did in steps of faith. And it involves finance. It involves our life. It involves us. And what I'm trying to say is the two common denominators for me around those decisions, around choices that we make, is number one, you get sick and tired of the devil lying to your face. Okay? You say, well, what are you talking about? You just get to the place where it's like you feel your flesh is saying, no, how can you do it? It's impossible. Why would you do it? And then the devil's in your face saying, you can't do that. You must be practical. You must think about what that means. And you must crumble. You must, and he's a liar. So the first common denominator in it all is, are you sick and tired of the devil lying to you? Telling you you'll die, telling you you'll fail, telling you'll be broke, telling you you'll never make it, telling your company is a loser, telling you you're a loser, telling your, I don't know what, I don't even want to make up stories, but the common denominator for me in my life when it comes to rejoicing is, first of all, there's a devil who's against me, who's, the things seem to be stacked up, and the second common denominator is, no, I'm not going to live like that. I choose to do what I know God spoke to me to do, whether it's through his word or through him dropping something in my heart by the Holy Spirit, I am going to rejoice. And that simply means I choose to trust God. It's not a dancing and a singing. There's times for that. Trust me, when that MLA gave us his house downtown Jasper, we were in there with the kids. Shoo! There's a time for it. Miriam sang and danced. I remember the time when we were planning to go back to Tanzania and this whole story back in the day, and we didn't have funding. And we come home from church, and there's milk on our doorstep there in Edentwistle, and we literally take the kids, and we're dancing around in the living room. The Lord can provide milk. He can provide anything. It's like God is faithful. So the enemy's going to come, and he's going to frustrate you to the point you either get offended and quit, you just give up, or you get angry, you say, how could God allow this, or whatever terms you use in your life where the enemy comes and screams at you, or we say, no, I'm going to trust God. The devil's a liar, and I'd love to be able to tell you the example that we're using right now, my wife and I, our challenge right now. I just tease you with it. Maybe in 20 years from now, I'll have a testimony around it. Right now, it's like this side of the Red Sea. Okay, Lord, open that sea. But it's like, no. That's why I'm saying it comes down to like, devil, you're a liar. You're such a liar. And I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to trust God. Amen? And as I said already, get busy living or get busy dying. What's your choice? It's like, we're going to believe God in these things. And I could use 100 examples without finances, but the reason I felt for my story, I could talk about financial things because it represented to me trusting God, making a choice. Devil, you're a liar. I'm going to do this. I believe God's in this. I'm going to take a step of faith. And I don't know what step of faith you need to take this morning. Maybe it's around money. Maybe it will involve money. I like practical things for myself. I like those challenges when you know the joke where you're ready to give $50 and the devil says, no, that's too much. What are you don't have gas money, whatever. Okay, devil, then I'm giving 100. You know what I mean? Where you just... No, I'm gonna do what God's told me to do. I'm gonna trust him. So I don't know where you're at in your rejoicing, but it's like God says he is gonna be faithful, and are you gonna trust me, and are you gonna believe me? Amen? Yeah. And here's my last point, it's in the natural, like the guy said, when I used to be in the world, well, where do you think you are? But when I was in the flesh, okay, I'm still there. It doesn't often make sense to your mind what you choose. It doesn't. But to your spirit, it's a decision in your heart. And that's why I was saying, even, can the band just come? I'm going to turn it over to Brad. But I want to get mad at the devil this morning. The opposition, the mindset, the flesh, the worry, the anxiety, the I don't know what to call it, that attacks us and robs our joy, keeps us from rejoicing, keeps us from celebrating the goodness of God. Being able to look past it and say, I know my Redeemer lives, and one day I'm going to stand on the mountain and I'm going to see him. I don't know. I don't know what you're facing. But I pray that someone would speak a word to you this morning, like a Linda Beth. Sorry, Linda Beth, this is so good that you're sitting there. And just say what she said. Just speak to your circumstance. Speak to your spirit this morning. I believe that's what God wants to do. And there's people who are making choices, as I said, to rejoice when the mind tells us there's nothing to rejoice. But that's when we rejoice. That's when we count it joy. Count it all joy. With thanksgiving and with prayer. Hallelujah. So let's stand together. Let's sing. Whatever your name is, Brad, welcome.